Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. I'm thankful for what's already gone on here tonight. For the good praying, the good singing, for the shouting. But we're coming down to more serious things now tonight. I've never been more serious in my life than I am tonight about a church service and about the folks that are here. I know a lot of you when I see you. Some of you I can call your name. Folks from Tennessee and other places here tonight. But inside, I know that I don't really know all about you. But there's surely one that does. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there is found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You may be seated. I'm going to preach tonight, if God will help me, on the judgment. Everybody here will face a judgment. Doesn't make any difference to me what your doctrine is about the judgment. Amen. How many judgments you want to count and who'll stand where. We'll all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. I'm preaching tonight to you, preacher, Sunday school teacher, deacon, lay member, 10-year-old child, a girl or boy. You'll stand at the judgment seat and give an account. I'm talking to you. No matter how old you are, how rich you are, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, doctor, lawyer, merchant, chief, you'll stand and give an account of yourself at God's judgment. I read this afternoon yonder in the motel room, Paul making his journey to Rome by boat And it fell in with this scripture that I read in your hearing that Paul was going to judgment. He requested when he might have been released. He requested, which was his right as a Roman citizen, to stand before Caesar. I don't know if he knew all he was going through or not, but it is the determinate counsel of God for him to spend those months and years in a dark, damp prison in Rome and write a major portion of this New Testament to the saints and sinners of today. But he had to face judgment. He was going to the hierarchy of that day. And I'm going to tell you tonight, you're headed for judgment. I don't know what you're going to do between here and there. David said, I tremble when I think of the judgment. David did everything right according to God, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. And if he was afraid of judgment, you'd better be too. Hear me, lady, tonight. You'll answer for what you've done and what you have not done. Whoever here tonight, you have no right to stick out your chest and say, I'm a doing well. By God's measurement tonight, we ought to all be in hell. But by His marvelous grace, thank God we can escape hellfire, but we shall still answer to Him in judgment. Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal, you'll stand before God. No matter what you've claimed, no matter what you've been named, no matter how big your bank account, you'll stand trembling before a just God and give an account. Thank God for it. I'm looking forward to the judgment, and I dread the judgment, but I'm going to tell you, thank God there'll be a separation on that day of the righteous from the wicked and the saved and unsaved. And if you're not ready, you ought to get ready tonight. I don't know much about the judgment. I just know I'm going to be there. I have a lot of things to answer for. I'm being honest with you now from my heart. I have not prayed enough. I have not preached strong enough. I haven't had enough love in my heart for mankind. I have not had enough pity. I'm ashamed of my ministry when I stand before God. Whoa, help us tonight to understand God's going to judge with a different judgment than you and I judge with. You say, preacher, you're not a judge. I am so. Well, I have a right to judge. The Bible said the righteous judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. I can judge when you're drinking, you're a scallywag, dancing and playing around on your wife or husband. You'll stand in judgment for it. I've got a right to judge those things because the Bible has said it's wrong. But I'm going to tell you there's a deeper judgment on you. If you've run the streets half naked, live one life at Walmart and another in the house of God, you'll stand in judgment for it. You hear me this Thursday night when God's already visited this place. I'm going to tell you, you ought to know from this book, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and weep and mourn for our untidiness in this world and walk a dark path instead of a light path. I'm going to tell you, we're not doing the best we know. We've got a book, we've got a Bible, and men of God here in Alabama has walked these valleys and hills and preached the straight line out of this people, and we fail, miserably fail, to worship God in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord. We'll stand in judgment because we've not lived up to our privilege. We've been weak and wicked. We've let other things stand between us and God Almighty. I've been amazed at how Christians will put things in front of God. They've got children that are coming to the age of accountability, are already there. Some of their children are fixing to get married, some starting homes. And we'll put ball games and everything else in front of getting them to the house of God. We'll take them to church and then let them do what they want to while we try to worship. You say, preacher, I didn't think you was going to get on them things. I'm telling you tonight, we'll answer to God Almighty for a little thing. It's not just the murders and the rapists and the drunks that's going to answer to God for their deeds. Folks sitting on the front seat and in the choir in the amen corner, we're going to answer to God because we didn't do the things that God wanted us to do. The sins of omission are as strong as stronger than the sins of commission. There's some things we're leaving out in our worship that God's, it stinks in the nostrils of God, and we'll stand in judgment. Paul got on the boat and headed to Rome. Men of God that are true to God know some things that church members don't know. And I know I've heard folks say, preacher's like everybody else. If he is, why can't everybody preach? There's something different about God's man. I'm not talking about a fellow that says he's called to preach. But as comes the position and the special little secret places and the knowledge comes greater responsibility. And we'll answer, preachers, hear me tonight. Because we've thought it cheap that God would call us and we can stand and milk a congregation and live for the gospel and off the gospel. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you, we've got an obligation to bring power to the house of God and condemn sin and tell sinners their only hope is the cross of Calvary. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that cleanses from sin. Church membership and baptism and having recognition and having a talent to sing will not get you a thing at the judgment if you fail to live true and holy in His sight. If I could tonight, well, thank you, Lord. If I could tonight, I'd like to get condemnation on everybody that's in this congregation here tonight that should run to an altar and cry out, it's me, Lord, I've failed and come short of the glory of God in my everyday living. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. There is a just God. I'll have nothing to say at the judgment. What I'm going to say will get said tonight and at other places and times. But when I come to the judgment, I'll keep my mouth shut and take my medicine along with you. But there is a righteous judge that knows your heart and your mind and what you intend to do and what you have done in darkness and in light. And you'll answer to God. Ladies and gentlemen, judgments are coming. It cannot be long. I've been reading this book now since I can remember 8 or 9 years old, sitting on my front porch with an old house that come and built a porch on our house, and I thought I'd got to heaven. And a poor old house that we wouldn't hardly keep our dogs in now. But I'd put my feet up on the porch post in that straight back chair and read the Word of God. And I don't know how many times I've read it through. I'm not bragging. It's pitiful. But for years and years and years and years, I read it through every year. And I'm going to tell you, judgment can't be far away. We talk about the coming of Jesus Christ and how glorious it'll be. And that's right. And this society today has painted a picture, you know, that we're going to have a Santa Claus deal here where Christ comes before trouble starts and sweeps us out of here. If he's going to do that, he ought to come yesterday. I'm going to tell you, things are going to get rough before we go out of here. You hear this, old preacher, tonight. The crowd's going to get smaller and the preachers are going to get fewer and the mamas are going to be less doing what they ought to do in front of their children and daddy's forsaken homes and being took over. If America don't change, we'll be took over by a foreign country. Amen. I don't know what you're going to do, but the die is cast in my heart. I'm going to do what I'm doing. I don't not only obligated, I love it. I'm not only feel pressed from God, I mean pressed hard to preach the word of God. When he called me, he put a want to in me to get the job done. I'm not accepted by everybody, and you won't be either. There's folks hate me and they hate you. But if God loves me, if I get a smile from him, I'll be satisfied. Bless his name. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God, but I'm headed for judgment, friend, and so are you. I want you to look at me. You're going to judgment. You're going to judgment. And it won't all be good when you get there. And we're going to answer. John on the Isle of Patmos saw that judgment. And he said, I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. No left hand, no right hand business now. It's just straight judgment. Oh, listen tonight. The God that made this world will stand in that day and read your title and bring up every hidden thing that you did before you got saved. Bring everything up you did after you got saved. Look in the book to find your name. Wipe out those things that you did before you got saved. And you'll give an account for what you did after you got saved. You say, preacher, I don't believe that's right anyhow. Now hear this tonight. As you're sure as you're sitting here, you'll stand before the judgment of God and give an account of the deeds done in the body. He said he saw books. I don't know how many books, but there were books. There's enough to record your works. How you did it, why you did it, all those things have been calculated on a computer greater than you've ever thought about. Weighed in the balances, and every one of us has been found wanting. All of us got bad things to answer for. Exactly right. You say, preacher, all them's forgiven. You'll see when you get to the judgment. You'll answer for the deeds done in the body. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Talk to me after the service. Thank God the Bible said you'll give an account to him the works that you've done, whether they be good or whether they be evil. That's exactly right. Now hear me, ma'am. Hear me, I'm talking to you. If you're serious about judgment, you ought to mend your ways. You ought to find some things in your life that's not pleasing to God and get it right. And sir, you hear me tonight. You ought to get in this altar tonight and say, search me, O Lord. Shine a light in my life and show me where I can step up and move on for the glory of God. You say, preacher, if I was to change now, I'd have to change my home and my family and make stands where I've never made them before. Shame on you if you don't have the intestinal fortitude how to stand up for the great things of God. You'll answer to him. Be no politicians at the judgment. Be no politics played. we'll all be the same.
Yep.
All them rock and roll dudes. All the popes.
Yeah.
And by the way, they're not going to fare well.
No.
All the presidents and all the kings. And they're not going to fare well. And all the preachers.
Yeah.
And many of us are not going to fare well.
That's true, brother.
You're right. Oh, God, help us tonight. If I could get you to have a real sense of what's on the inside of you and see what you need to do, that you'd not have to tremble so with the judgment of Christ. You'd get in this altar, every one of you here tonight, many here, I've got great confidence in you. Been around you enough to know in my heart that you're saved. But all's not well, you're still in the flesh. And there's some things need mending. God help us. And he said, I saw the books open. And he said, I saw another book.
Yeah.
And it's the book of life. And I want to say to you tonight, if your name's not written in the Lamb's book of life, you're doomed.
Yeah.
Nothing else is going to matter. All of your so-called good living ain't going to get you in to heaven and where Christ is. It's got to be recorded in the book. I've seen lots of men and lots of women. I don't know how many hundreds in my day, and Brother Charles and others, seen more than I have, no doubt, but I've seen hundreds come in here and say they're saved. I've shouted over it. I got memories back down through the years of special occasions when men and women got born again and did things that still makes me shout. But I really down in my heart don't know whether they got it or not. Some of them have had works to prove it. Others have not had works to prove it. I've seen folk come and I'd say they did not get anything and they're still shouting today. Others I've declared if they didn't get saved, I didn't get saved, and they're cussing and lying and fornicating today. You see, I don't know. But there's a book.
Yes, sir.
And if your name is not in the Lamb's book of life, you're lost. Do you know you're saved? Do you really know it? Can you really with all assurance raise your hand to God and say, you're my Father and I know you are? But in your times, in your private times over yonder, in your dark bedroom at night when everybody else is asleep, can you affirm to God Almighty, I know I'm saved? You say, preacher, you're trying to get us lost. If you're lost, I am. I'm going to tell you there's such a thing as a no-so salvation.
Yes,
you don't have to sit around and wonder if you're born again or not. I was a doubter. I said, I don't believe there's really anything. I knew my mom and daddy had something that I didn't have. I knew my mom and daddy was different. My daddy's the greatest Christian I ever knew. Could just barely write his name. He'd work his mouth trying to sign a check and it'd take him 3 or 4 minutes to get it all done. But thank God there's coming a judgment. My daddy and my mom will stand at the judgment and give an account to God Almighty. I've known preachers in my day, I'd almost bow and wipe their shoes. I believe these God's men walked a holy line. But we'll all stand. If the name's not on the book, that's the test. I wonder how it is with your soul tonight. I wonder how you're living. I wonder, it's between you and God, how you're going to stand at the judgment of Christ. Ladies, are you listening to me? Men, are you listening to me tonight? Preachers, singers, are you listening to me? You're going to stand at God's judgment. And you're going to give an account of the deeds done in the body. How are you going to explain what you did last week?
How are you going to explain the thoughts you had and the words you said and the acts you committed? There'll be no hiding from God. All them things you did have been written down. I said all those things you did have been written down. And they'll come back to face you at the judgment. If you'd be honest with God tonight, you could raise your hand and say, guilty, God. I raise my hand tonight and say, Lord, I haven't been all I could have been. I've spent a lot of time on the highway, a lot of times in the lonely motels, thousands and thousands a night, wanting the revival to end so I could get home. But I'm going to tell you, no matter what your work has been in labor, if your name's not on the book. I know folk tonight that are dedicated, independent, fundamental, premillennial, sin-hating, devil-fighting, Bible-believing, loud-mouth, declaring the name of Jesus, that I have no idea whether they've ever been saved or not, because there's no Holy Ghost to bear witness. Listen to me. If God saved you, He gave you the Holy Ghost. He changed you. He made you hate what you used to love. Made you love what you used to hate. There's a change if you've been saved. I saw in the hills of North Carolina, I believe that meeting we had 14 saved. Saw a big old boy one night come a-flooding in the altar, got on his knees and wept, and far as I know, he got saved. He disappeared, and I didn't see him after church, and I said, what happened to that boy? And they said, he's in the restroom taking the stud out of his tongue. He's afraid he might die with it in there. The next night, another man did the same thing, got born again. And I missed him. They said he'd done the same thing. Went back there and took that junk out of his lips and out of his tongue. And he's afraid that judgment had come. You see, if you get born again, you also get a fear of the wrath of God. Listen to me. God help our little old puny hearts. We think if we carry a King James Bible, everything's right with us. My friend, it goes much deeper than that. There's an inside holiness that God requires of every individual that's been saved and hit the rock. And He's writing down those things you failed to do. Mother, if you let your children get by, if you don't get them in the house of God and make them be still, Daddy, if you don't see to it that your household, that there's a holy God atmosphere here in your home, God will see that you answer for it. Yeah. Mr. Man, God holds you responsible for your household. If you've let things go on in your home, let Hollywood pump things into the minds of your children, you'll answer for it at the judgment of God. There's many a boy and girl tonight that's in hell because they've been taught of Hollywood instead of mom and daddy taking them to church where an old man of God's not afraid of anybody but the Lord Himself. God help us tonight. It's all right if you get quiet. I would too. Oh, help us to see. We'll all answer for everything. While I'm preaching tonight, the Holy Ghost is working in your heart. Let Him work. Whether you come in this altar or not, if you just let a light come on in your soul and shine in a dark corner and say, Lord, I'm going to make a change, it'd be worth every mile of the trip for me. Would you consider tonight your own self? I'm not talking about anybody else. I know this fella here. He's a fine fella. He's no doubt better than I am. But I need to worry about me.
That's true.
Ain't that right?
Amen.
I know some of these preachers and these men in here tonight and ladies that I got confidence in, and I know some, I know they're not perfect, but I'm going to tell you that's not as much my business as just an individual. As a preacher, it becomes my business when I get in the pulpit, but I've got enough to worry about right here to take care of me. This is my responsibility. I'm a man of God. I'm responsible to preach and tell you what sin is and beg you to get it right. But I've got an obligation of God, first of all, to stay pure myself.
Amen.
I know that if God don't protect me, that any night over yonder in the motel, somebody wants to set me up with a camera. Put somebody in my room. It ought not to be there when I go in. I'm tomorrow, I'm ruined. But thank God there's a God in heaven that knows the truth.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. And he said, those that were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. That burneth with fire and brimstone forever. And then just in case that forever run out, he put another ever on that. Are you sure you're all right? Paul on the ship to judgment. They wouldn't pay attention to him. He saw storms and bad waters in the future. He told them, we'd better not sail now. But they had more confidence in the words of the captain of the ship than they did the old man of God.
Amen.
Folks said here tonight, you've got more confidence in some politicians than you have this blessed Bible that I read from tonight. One day, you'll find out different. Paul said you ought not to sail, but they sailed anyway. It's still going on. We'd rather listen to men that paint a pretty picture. In California and other places, the more popular they are. I sat in the same room with Jimmy Swaggart and saw him get out on his face. Somebody asked a question. Some lady asked a question in a Bible class. Said, Brother Swaggart, why has not God brought down judgment on America? And Brother Swaggart, Mr. Swaggart said, Brother Milby Teller. And I said, he's a tolerant, long-suffering, forgiving God. And Swaggart fell on his knees and said to me, more than anybody, but I'm going to tell you tonight, no matter what your name is, judgment's coming to Swagger. Judgment's coming to you. And it's coming to me. Oh, can you say, Mama, you're ready? Can you raise your hands and say, I've done what God wanted me to do? Or does fear strike you to think a judgment is coming? Preachers, have we shaded the Word of God a little? Have we lessened up on sin? The devil slipped around hand in my ear and said, lessen up a little bit, lighten up, and you'll have more following than what you got. I thank God maybe folks want to come and hear the Word of God. That's not my mission, to gain friends and influence people. My mission's to preach.
Amen. Amen. That's it.
Would you listen to me now? I'm almost done tonight. I had a sense today of impending judgment. I don't know who it's on, whether you're here or whether it's somewhere else tonight. Maybe it's on you. Maybe it's on me. Whatever God does to you, you'll stand in the judgment and say, thou art right, you're right and just, dear God.
Amen.
If we know, if some of my grandchildren goes to hell, I'll stand at the judgment and say, you're a just God,
yes,
Lord.
Sir.
However he treats you, it'll be the best way. I know what your job is, to read this book, listen to preaching, and hew the line for God the very best you can. I guess I told it, maybe at Antioch, years and years ago, preaching in Louisville, traveling the roads, I was give out. Seemed like there's times when things didn't go right in revival meetings. The devil kept saying, I'm going to kill you one day, catch you out on these roads and put you to sleep and run you over a cliff. In 3 months' time, nobody remember who you are. I was going up I-65. My wife would drive, and we'd drive to Louisville, 70 miles, sometimes come home, go back at night and have service and come back. And sometimes nobody ever invite us home. And the devil said, if you'll lighten up, you know, if you'll just allow some things and not preach so tight. And I said, Lord, how do you want me to run it? And I became conscious of an 18-wheeler trying to get by, a surgeon trying to get by. And he's kept there so long, I turned and looked, and on his door it said the All Out Trucking Company. And I said, if that's the way you want it, that's the way I'm going to run it. And that's where I am tonight.
Praise the Lord.
I love you all. Some of the finest people I know sit in this congregation tonight. But I'm sorry, my thoughts about you will not help you. It's a judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to tell you, you ought to pull out the stops and say, no matter who it hurts, no matter if folks turn against me, if I lose my job, I'm going to do the will of God. Lots of ladies will stand in judgment and give an account because they didn't stay at home with their children. That's what the Bible said they ought to do. Are you listening to me? I love you, but I'm telling you what the Bible said. Many sorry men tonight, it's not been men at all. You've been the cheaters and woman chasers, and God knows all about it. And you'll answer at the judgment seat of Christ. Women cut their hair off and you can't tell if they're men or whether they're women. You'll answer. God said you should not do that. Are you hearing me? You say, preacher, you're losing us now. That'll be all right. God knows what's right tonight. We'll judge it on men, but we'll never judge it on women. We're afraid of them. Would you think with me just a moment? Are you sure you're saved, that your name's on the Lamb's Book of Life? And then when all those books are open and they read your deeds, how will it sit with you? Everybody stand, please. We're going to sing together. I hope I've held a mirror in front of you tonight. This Word of God help you see where you are. Nobody in here is perfect, but that's no excuse. I'm trying to be. I know I'll never reach it in the flesh, but my pattern is perfect. And it's my duty to copy him the best I can. Daddies, tonight you better look well to your ways when we start to sing. If anybody involved in the singing tonight wants to get in the altar, you get in. It ain't no shame for you to come in this altar. But if God's brought some things to your mind and heart that you know is not just exactly right, you better get in here and ask God to help you with it. God's helped me tonight to shine a light right where you are. And he's let you see honestly before God. Some of you have seen some things tonight in your life you haven't seen before. And God said that needs to be fixed. And you better do something about it tonight. Sinner, hear me if you're in here. You're facing death maybe before tomorrow morning. You better come and confess your ungodliness and your sinful ways and your lostness and ask God to save you. I want to ask you to do something for me. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you tonight in the invitation is going to do just exactly what you feel God would have you to do? That's not hard for you to say. I raise my hand. I'm going to do what God wants me to do in the invitation. I appreciate you doing that tonight. I believe you. As we sing, if God says everything's right in your heart, I would not come in this altar. But if the Holy Ghost has shined some light and you need to fix some things, would you come tonight while we sing together?